renewing old acquaintances with our Patriots Friday regular Fred Taylor. It's good to see you.
Good to be here.
I've
been like in Hawaii somewhere on vacation for about 3 months.
And I barely recognize you. You got the play. Is this a playoff beard going, or are you going for a different look altogether?
I'm going for the log cabin. You know, the big the guys with the
Grizzly Adam type thing. Yeah. You and Randy Moss.
Well, Randy, Kevin, they all got like this little deal going on. Randy, Kevin, Ben Jarvis, a few other guys, Mayo. Mine's just last minute thing.
So you're trying to get in on the their little thing, huh?
No, I would like to sneak in and try and get a piece of that pie. They got a pretty good dollar amount on that thing. So
you got to practice for a little bit before you return to the lineup. How have you felt since coming back and getting some action in real games again?
I feel pretty good. This is at this point in the season, you are what you are, you know, and you're either going to muscle up and make it happen, or you're either going to fold. But right now it's go time. I feel pretty good. It's just the healthiest I'm going to be. Considering how long I've been out, I feel great. You know, I'm enthused, motivated. I'm looking forward for some positive stuff to happen.
When you initially got hurt, was there any conversation about putting you on IR, and did you have to talk them out of it if they were even thinking that way, or was that never on the board?
Kind of one of those flyby things where I didn't hear a single word about being placed on IR, or the trainers didn't mention anything. I think because we had to get the prognosis or diagnosis, whichever is the case.
I've always struggled with those two. Yeah, you know, prognosis, diagnosis.
This and that. But whatever the end result of the surgery, whether I needed it or not, how long would the healing process be, all that stuff kind of played into it, but they never mentioned anything about IR.
Have you had the chance to reach out and give a little encouragement to your teammate Wes Welker yet this week?
You know, I spoke with Wes yesterday. He was over here in the facility. And the one thing that stood out to me was, hey, Wes, man, good to see you. I know you're tired of all this pity party of everyone saying get well soon and get healthy. And you understand that they mean good by mentioning it. But so much of it just get a little repetitive, and you just get kind of tired of hearing it. You just want to go through the process of recovering. But he's positive. He's in good spirits, and he's wishing us well.
You know, Fred, you've been in the playoffs before. You never had an opportunity to play in a Super Bowl, but you're familiar with this time of year, January football. What kind of changes do you make to your preparation, to your mentality going into the playoffs?
Going forward, I don't think me personally, I don't make a whole lot of changes, definitely not in my game. But the key word was preparation, and that's the key. I mean, 100%, 150% of what's going on now and going forward, being that these games are, you know, you lose, you're out. Preparation is always the key. You want to out-prepare the other team. Try and be more familiar with them as they are with you, and try and just out-execute them. And I think preparation allows for your job to become a bit easier. So I don't change much. I take all the notes that I usually take on a weekly basis throughout the regular season. So for me, it's basically the same.
And back in the good old days, Jacksonville and Baltimore were in the same division. So you've seen these guys many times. You're very familiar with Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and the whole Baltimore scheme. Is it motivation at times thinking when you think, I know Ray Lewis is working right now. I know he's trying to out-scheme me or trying to outwork me, so I'm going to have to outwork him.
Well, it's always motivation. I mean, in the past decade or my 12 years in the NFL, this has been a defense, a team based on their defense. If you hear the Ravens, you automatically just visualize Ray Lewis. And then that defense, the rest of them follows behind. But it's always added motivation knowing that you're just playing, you know, a defense of that caliber. Because they're going to give you their best. They're going to be physical. They're going to be dirty. And they also have some finesse play because their whole defense thrives off turnovers. And I think part of it, you have to have that physical / finesse type defense going on in order to create those turnovers. So for us, it's going to be a challenge. I think we're ready. Well, I don't think we are ready for it.
I loved the quote I read from you earlier this week. You were talking about playoff week and young guys not really knowing what's going on here. And I think the phrase you used was each one, teach one.
Yeah.
Each veteran, grab a young guy, mm-hmm. take him aside, make sure he knows what's going on here.
Of course. Right now, like I said a second ago, this is a win or go home. You're in that mode, and you want to make sure your preparation doesn't fail you. You don't want those younger guys who hadn't been in this situation to fail you. So, and we depend on all of them. You know, the season is going on 18 weeks here, and you expect them to know it by now, but that's where you're making a mistake. So my whole thing is, you know, grab a rookie and just every now and then just whisper something to him. You know, something as easy as, what do you think they're going to do on second down or this situation? So you want to grab someone, bring them along, and just pray that, you know, you're all on the same page.
So I saw you do that 2 weeks ago after Lawrence Maroney fumbled the football in the end zone, or I think he was in the end zone. They mm-hmm. said at the goal line. I saw you talking to him a couple of times during that game.
Yeah.
Is that the sort of thing you're talking about?
Yeah. More so in that situation, it was more so just be positive. You know, of course, the timing is bad. It's going to be highlighted. You're right on the one. Any fumble is bad. It's an ultimate sin in football. But it's definitely more microscopic right there. And I was just saying, you know, just be positive. Find something positive. God's just trying to make you aware of what you have been doing wrong. So just try and find something positive out of it. And, you know, try not to make it happen again in the same sense.
It's funny. Did you have the same conversation with yourself in Houston? Because, you know, it's, yeah. now what happened on that play? It just seemed to happen so fast. I said, well, wait a minute. The ball's out. Okay. It's a touchdown.
It happened fairly fast. And we said we weren't going to relive Houston because that's in the past. But I think you have to pay some attention to it because you don't want it to happen again. And it's just a situation where they hit up in our gaps pretty quick. And as I'm trying to secure the handoff, they just took it away. I like to be more careful with the ball in that situation and not try and make a guy miss in the hole. More so just ball up and get what you can get.
How much time do you – and it's interesting just talking about, you know, guys who fumble, guys who don't fumble.
Mm-hmm.
How much time do you think about actually carrying the football? Is it so second nature to you now where you don't think, okay, this is my technique. I got to make sure I have the ball here. Somebody's coming to my right, so I have to switch to the left hand. Are you actually thinking that way, or is that just something that just over years and years of playing the position you just do naturally?
I think a lot of it becomes second nature, especially after the quarterback snaps the ball. But you have to know the situation that you're in prior to the ball being snapped. If you know you're in a four-minute offensive mode, they're gonna try and come after the ball and get turnovers. So you want to definitely have two hands on the ball at all times in that situation, as well as in your film study, if you know this is a ball-hawking, stripping defense. And some defenses do it better than others, but some stand out a lot more. You want to just go into that game and, hey, these guys come after it. So usually most of the fumbles that you don't expect come from behind. And knowing that, you want to, when you feel that sense of someone chasing you, you just want to put it a little tighter to your body. And the careless fumbles come from just running through the hole, being careless.
Before we let you go, I got to say, before the Jacksonville game, I had the opportunity to interview David Garrard, mm-hmm. a very impressive young man, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But he couldn't speak glowingly enough about his time that he spent with you.
Dave's, I've seen him grow, saw him come in as a rookie. Great character person, great teammate to have. He's always putting the team first. And I've seen him grow, and he's another example of a guy talking to, saying, be patient, have patience. We're going to need you. You're going to be the guy one day. And he's waited his turn, and he's doing some good things.
My final question for you is, speaking of waiting your turn or waiting for an opportunity, it didn't necessarily happen the way a lot of people thought it would. You know, most people here are used to seeing the Patriots with the first round bye. Mm-hmm. But still, it's a playoff game, an opportunity to win a championship. When you saw the Patriots win the AFC East and you figure out who the opponent is for the playoffs, did you say to yourself, well, this is why I came here? This is exactly what I was looking for, this opportunity to go far in the playoffs.
I didn't really say it in that order. I said, well, it's a recession, so I need work. But when I had an opportunity, when I became a free agent, and just looking at everything, laying everything out on the table, there are options, and then there are teams that I think you have to kind of step back and say, wow, this team has been one of the most consistent teams in the past decade. So, in essence, you're going to have to sacrifice some things. It wasn't a money thing or, you know, I want to come and try and, you know, win the Super Bowl here because I know how tough that is. But it was just more so just wanting to go somewhere that definitely had tradition, had an opportunity to win, had some consistency. Because I've been on a roller coaster ride in Jacksonville, but this place had a lot of consistency, and I knew it had a lot of great players. I just want to be a part of it, see what I can do to help.
Man, you got a future in talk radio for many reasons, but you caused a stir down in Jacksonville. Talking about the team in L.A., I said, wow, that's good. That's talk radio fodder there.
It's one of those things. I'm trying to get them motivated because, you can't fool yourself. You know, I don't want anyone to fool themselves. So I just want to get the fans moving because I don't think 40,000 fans on an average weekly basis is going to do it. But I don't know, you know. So, but I love Jacksonville. So it's still part of me.
Great to see you again. I'm kind of counting on being able to talk to you next Friday.
Let's count on it.
Let's count on it. Yeah. Good to see you.